Hello, Justin TV. This is Vink here, telling you about the Famicom Dojo DVD, which you should be buying.
Well done.
Do
I have one nearby? I think I might. No, I have a test copy nearby. There we go. I can hold it up. It's actually a white case or a clear case. I was gonna get white originally, but the clear was pretty awesome. It only costs a little bit more to do. But it's so washed out on this video here.
Pretty much on the maximum. How does that sound?
That sounds pretty good.
Games being played out live action is really big.
Games being played out live action.
Well, yeah, like if you go to an anime convention or something, you'll see cosplayers doing random battles. Have you ever seen this?
Oh yeah, in fact, if you go back to the Sean Orange channel, there's a very early one from like 2006 or 2007, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
They were doing like a Final Fantasy VII random battle thing at No Brand Con. It's pretty fun.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've seen something like that. It's all a takeoff of they used to do like live action chess at like Renaissance festivals and stuff.
Oh yeah, did you ever play Battle Chess?
Battle Chess was amazing.
Oh man,
Battle Chess was like a video game adaptation of live action chess.
It's like Street Fighter the movie, the game.
Yeah, but
which was terrible.
What makes this amazing is that they're starting to use more obscure game titles.
Okay.
Like, I heard today that they did a live-action version of Tecmo Bowl.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Tecmo Bowl, that game where they played that sport, which obviously couldn't exist in real life.
Right.
And they did a live-action version of it today, but I think they probably couldn't get the licensing from Tecmo, so they called it something, what was it, the Super Bowl.
Ah, right. Now, I think football's been around a bit longer than video games.
Something's been around longer than video games?
Well, we haven't been. That's
nothing,
a scary thought, actually.
I care about.
Yeah, so they had that Super Bowl thing. The NFC champion Giants who beat out the Packers, unfortunately.
Wait. Oh, okay. Okay, beat out the Packers. Yeah,
no, I'm just saying who the teams are.
Okay, tell me. Yeah, okay.
Chill out.
Sorry. I haven't watched it yet. So
yeah, well,
no spoiler.
Spoiler, the Giants are playing the Patriots.
Okay.
And
they
play until one of them gets more points than the other by the time runs out. And
time's going to run out. Don't tell me
anymore.
Yeah.
And if the time runs out and one of them has more points, the game's over. But if they have the same points, it goes on. Spoiler.
Okay, so the Super Bowl is kind of like Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl is kind of like the Super Bowl.
I guess, but the Super Bowl's in high definition now, so.
Well, there's the one difference.
The one.
You know, football as a game is good.
Yeah.
And I can very much see why they made video game adaptions of it.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's a season for playing football, and it requires quite an investment to play it with your friends. But, you know, hooking up Madden, not quite as big of an investment.
As buying tickets
as
for the Super Bowl?
Actually starting your own football league.
Oh. Yeah, either way, playing Madden is cheaper, I think, than most other participation in sports. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, but most sports have video game adaptions, right?
Sure. There's one for soccer for FIFA.
Yep.
At least there used to be. I don't know if I've heard of a FIFA game for a while now.
Oh, they still make it.
And of course,
there's
hockey games.
For soccer, there's also like Winning 11.
Yeah. There's even skateboarding games.
In soccer in America. What?
There's like skateboarding games and there's snowboarding games and
yeah,
Tony Hawk and 1080.
Didn't Rockstar Games make a table tennis game?
I believe it.
I think it was more like a test for their new engine, but they decided to like sell it.
Mm, right.
Yeah, there was. Rockstar presents table tennis.
Whoa.
I know. It's like regular table tennis, but with cocaine and hookers.
It's kind of like a revelation for the Hudson episode about how we found out that SimCity was just a level editor for Raid on Bungling Bay.
Crazy.
It's amazing. I've heard good things about that episode, too. We got some good feedback.
Yeah, it went well. So, okay, sports to game. That's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Sure, I think so.
What else is a no-brainer? Action movie to game.
Yeah, like, does Street Fighter count? I guess it was based in the game to start with, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the concept. Fighting.
Right.
That's a good game concept.
Was there a Die Hard game?
Do very well in real life.
Mm.
Or you could, but, well.
Right. I've been playing a lot of Arkham City lately, which isn't based on an action movie per se, but there have been, it's, you know, the Arkham Comics. Asylum, Arkham City games are the best Batman games. It took until now, but I guess the first Batman game wasn't terrible. That was based on the 1989 movie, right? I think.
Something like that.
I think so. Maybe.
But anyway, I mean, that goes along with the point. Comic books make good games. I mean, not
except Superman.
Good games, but it's a good idea for a game.
Yeah.
You know, so we got action movies, yep. We've got sports, we've got space battles. Yes, space
right,
battles.
Right. It seems they're turning Battleship into a movie that was a game. And then maybe now that's about aliens and stuff, apparently. So these are like the Transformers sound effects and everything. So I'm assuming aliens. And so maybe they'll make a really kick-ass game out of that.
Anyway.
No. I was during the Super Bowl, so I figured it was topical.
Well, there you go. Board games make video games.
Yep. Monopoly, played a lot of that. Scrabble, there's the whole Scrabulous issue with Facebook. Yeah.
Ninjas make good video games.
Mm-hmm. Ninja Gaiden. And all the more recent versions. Dead or Alive. Spies. Oh, yeah. GoldenEye. Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, things that kids like play on the playground make good games, you know?
I don't think I've played a dodgeball game or a tetherball game.
Super dodgeball or Kunio-kun's
Super
dodgeball?
Super dodgeball. Okay, wow.
Dodgeball
I feel
game.
Like an idiot now. Yeah. How about kickball? Are there kickball games?
Ooh, kickball. I do
Hopscotch.
Not think I've ever played a video game version of kickball.
Hmm.
Well, because even when dodgeball. You play kickball, it's like everybody's like, we want to play baseball. Oh, baseball's too hard. You can play kickball.
Why haven't there been a lot of softball video games?
There's been one. Sammy Sosa's Backyard Softball.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I know it only by name and by going, really? A softball game? You don't say.
You've convinced me now. So there's been playground adaptations. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
A few at least.
Yeah, well, Nintendo released one that was like Clubhouse games. Or not Clubhouse games. There was one, I don't know if it was actually published by Nintendo, but it was for the DS. There was like just playground games, like 20 playground games in a collection.
Wow.
I wonder if that ever came out in America. I remember reading about it, but I never actually played it.
Well, they play a lot of Skate or Die. Does that count?
Skate or Die?
Yeah, and like Skate or Die 2 was... Actually, I had a story mode. I need to like pick up pieces of paper or something.
The Game Boy one, Skate or Die Tour de Trash. Still, the only good thing about that game is the name.
Right.
But yeah, Skate or Die, great series. Mm. California Games.
California Games, TNC Surf Design.
Yep, but I mean, when you look at all these things, they're things that people enjoy doing for fun.
Yeah. Right.
So we've got, you know, wanting to be a soldier. I guess that could be, I mean,
Space
the concept
Marine
of
counts.
Wanting to play around with guns and stuff is considered fun.
Yeah.
And what's great about video games is it takes out the danger.
Yeah, of shooting guns or getting kicked in the face with a dodgeball. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, like, I always hated playing dodgeball on the playground, but Super Dodgeball, great game.
Right.
Kids want to play games that are based on things that, you know, they want to do in real life. So shooting guns, explosions, rescuing people,
jumping on turtles.
Yep. Stockbroking.
What?
Stockbroking.
Stockbroking.
Is that even a word? Being a stockbroker? Yeah.
Well, okay, I understand what you said. I'm just perplexed because, you know, even though my dad had some kind of like stockbroker board game, I'd rather play Monopoly. So maybe I wanted to be a rich person, but like playing the stock market, I never understood what the heck I was supposed to do with that game. So,
well, maybe not every kid wanted to be a stockbroker. Some of them wanted to be attorneys.
Sure. Sure. Maybe. I guess.
Probably a bunch of other kids wanted to, be a waitress.
Don't people want to be actors and end up being waitresses anyway?
Perhaps.
Maybe. Or like going through college or something. It's like going through the college simulator. Yeah. Well, you know, no one's really made.
I would call it resident assistant.
But, okay, so even if that's the case, I don't think anyone's really made games of these, have they?
Now, that's the funny part. Those last three I mentioned are game ideas.
What?
The stockbroker would be the Wall Street Kid game for the NES.
Okay.
And then being a defense attorney is stylized in the long-running series, Phoenix Wright, or the Ace Attorney series.
Oh, right. I'm an idiot. Of course.
Webcam. And then the last one I mentioned, being a waitress, is the incredibly popular Diner Dash. You've played Diner Dash, right?
What is Diner Dash?
Diner Dash is a time management game. One of the early time management games. You know, you got to make sure that your customers have their food,
mm-hmm.
and you got to clear the plates when they're done, and new customers are coming in. It's kind of like that game Back to the Future where you're serving serving bullies those shakes.
Yeah.
Except Diner Dash is kind of fun.
Just like that scene in the movie.
We're going to bring that up every 5 minutes. But yeah, it's one of those management games. Actually, one of the first management games would probably be Tapper. Did you ever play Tapper in the arcades?
Tapper. Refresh my memory.
Tapper was a great game. As a kid, it definitely made me want to drink beer.
Oh, okay. So you had to like go around to the different kegs and like make beer and pass
it down.
Yeah,
you had like four bar stools, and you'd be filling up, and you pull what looks like taps with different.
Right.
I think the original game was sponsored by Budweiser.
What?
Like pull Budweiser, Bud Lights, and then whatever other.
All right.
80s flavors they had, but
80s flavors.
Now you can kind of feel right now the controversy that probably surrounded this game.
Yeah, especially knowing how little companies like Nintendo like to put things like religious imagery into their game. I can't imagine what drinking would do to people.
Oh, it was an arcade game.
Did it ever come out for any consoles?
I don't. So yeah, it was sponsored by Budweiser.
Okay.
And you have basically four bars, and there's customers coming down, and you fill up beers and like roll them down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can't just launch beers when there's no customers because the glasses will break.
Okay.
So you have to like, yeah, it's a management type.
Wow. Okay.
It came out on the Commodore 64, ColecoVision, Atari, arcade.
All right, so it's pretty old. We're talking like late 70s, early 80s.
We're talking 83.
83, yeah, so early 80s. Post-Michael Jackson.
Of course, there was some controversy.
I can only imagine. This is before Tipper Gore, after all.
So, well, yeah. But so by 1984, the game was retooled into Root Beer Tapper.
Oh.
And that's the version you see for, you know, the home market.
You know, I think someone told me that story while I was at MAGFest, actually, but yeah. I might have been tapping a little too much beer beforehand to have remembered that until just now.
Mr. Sean.
Yes.
Some things are more important than drinking.
Like playing arcade games.
about drinking
at MacFest.
But I played it. Gosh, there was a place where a lot of the Tamburino clan has gotten married over the years, some kind of wedding reception hall in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that in the little arcade. They had Pac-Man. They had that. They had Tron. Wow, that was a good place.
Oh, yeah, the Tron games. Yeah.
But anyway, so I remember playing Tapper. And one of the tabs, it was almost impossible to play, though, because one of the tabs had long ago been broken off by some kid.
Ooh.
But, you know, still an interesting game.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow, these people in the game really want beer. Beer must be awesome. So I'm guessing that's why they changed it to root beer later.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's a bartender game in its simplest way.
Sure.
In a management game.
Sure.
Another good bartender game would be Nimble Strong Bartender in Training.
Nimble. It sounds like a Japanese title.
It does, but actually it was an American company that made it. But, it's stylized over, like, the Phoenix Wright games.
Okay.
And it actually features our friend Kyle Eber, Huber, Herbert. Hey, looks like Herbert. Maybe not our close friend if we can't pronounce his name.
Well, he's met NoBrandCon before, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes,
so.
I've met him, yeah.
No, that's cool. Now I want to play this.
It's fun, too. It's like mixing drinks and stuff. Oh, by the way, podcast listeners under the age of 21... Drinks are bad, and like beer tastes horrible. You
it
don't even
does.
Want.
It
just,
does.
Just stick to your soda pops.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
root beers.
You know, if you drink anything other than that, Nintendo is going to censor it anyway. So.
Now I've heard, not to be too much on a tangent here, but I've heard that countries outside of the U.S. people tend not to like root beer very much. And I think it's just like a cultural thing because we had like Prohibition, and people have like developed a taste for root beer, and now. Something that they passed on to their kids, and not countries outside the U.S. didn't have that problem, and so they didn't have root beer, and they don't like it.
Japanese people hate root beer.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like, you can buy it in, like, some specialty stores, but it's got, like, warnings written by it. It's like, you won't like this. It tastes like medicine. This is only for the foreigners. Well, okay, it doesn't really say that, but I mean... It
might as well. Right.
This is for the foreign population. Not even the foreign population, just the Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, British people don't like it either. They're like, it's too sweet and weird. But it's root beer.
Yeah. How can you not like root beer? God.
I don't know. Like,
A&W, Mug's even tolerable. Sprecher.
I don't know. But my wife can't stand root beer, but whenever I get a can, I'll share some with my daughter because I want to make sure she's, you know.
I was going to ask if you're going to indoctrinate her, and I'm proud to hear that you are. Good. Excellent.
Indoctrination begins.
Okay. So can we indoctrinate her with these games about mundane things?
That's the thing. There's so many games about mundane things, and I'm realizing as I look over this list that a lot of the games about mundane things are some of my favorite games.
No. Okay, so maybe Phoenix Wright. I can possibly see that because that's a pretty popular series. That Wall Street Kid one, though, I didn't really hear play at all. I think I've heard of it at least, but I never really played it.
Wall Street Kid is like an anomaly for the NES. It really was kind of a serious game, and one that didn't really seem to be targeted at kids. So, of course, kids liked it.
Naturally.
You have a distant relative who passes away. Since you're the sole heir, wow, short family tree, but since you're the sole heir, you're entitled to inherit $600 billion. Yeah, $600 billion.
Billion, wow.
That's a lot of money.
You could pay for a foreign war with that much money.
Yeah, you could bail out some of our larger companies. Okay, anyway. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But before you could do that, this estate agent, this lawyer, Larry the lawyer, everyone has that type of name in this game.
Larry the lawyer.
The ruthless banker, you know, things like that.
Right.
He says that in order to inherit all this money, first you have to prove that you're a shrewd 80s guy financial whiz. He doesn't actually say 80s guy because this was the 80s, but...
Right, right.
But if you look at his hair, it's 80s guy.
Right.
But so you have to prove yourself. So over the over 1 month, you have to take this $500,000, and by the end of the month, you have to buy this house that costs $1 million. So you have to make that money double, at least. But of course, you along the way, you're going to be paying lots of other costs, like you need to hire consultants, and there's some transaction fees, and you have to keep your girlfriend happy.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, you have a girlfriend, and apparently in the will, they said that you have to keep her happy too, which I find to be, like, at the time I thought, oh, that's an interesting game mechanic.
Does that mean you can't break up with her?
You can't break up with her, no. But she'll understand. It's for $600 billion.
Yeah, sticking around for all the right reasons.
The game implies that you like her.
Okay, so that's at least that's something.
But it has a really interesting interface because you go into work every morning. Like, one screen is your like main screen, and it has like a little computer on, a newspaper,
yeah,
a desk assistant thing, and a flower pot.
Uh-huh.
And if this flower starts wilting, it's indicating that your love life has gone sour.
What?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though.
Okay.
If she loves you too much, though, you're going to have to get married, and then you have to spend a lot of money on the wedding.
Oh, and then there's the fact that you have to give her $300 billion, right?
I would tell her. But anyway.
Prenup.
The computer on your desk looks like a early black and white Macintosh. Actually,
sure, sure.
Which was, I'm sure, still somewhat high tech at that time.
Yes.
So you invest in all these companies. Now they couldn't get like real names for everything because copyrights and stuff.
Sure.
So there's like two computer companies. There's Yapple and YBM.
Yapple.
There's like Zexon or something, or for the oil company, and there's Rattel toys.
Oh, like, you know, Mattel,
like that. But,
yeah.
But like, you want to invest in toys right before Christmas, and you know, there's lots of, so every morning you read the newspaper, and it'll give you some like general stock oversight, but then you can also pay money to talk to these like consultants, which will give you like real better tips, and you know, since this is just a video game, you know. Oh, wow. This guy who I spent a lot of money said this stock's going to do well. I'll invest all my money in this. And occasionally they do steer you wrong, but like, it's not often enough that that's not a good game strategy.
Okay.
But I love this game. I played it all the time. I got pretty far a few times, too.
Is it even possible to get to the goal? Like, how close did you get?
I bought the house a few times, but after that, they come up with like a second goal that you have to like buy this ancestral castle that from your father's homeland or whatever.
Sorry, that reminds me of Smallville a little bit, like moving the Luther mansion from wherever the heck it was to Smallville, brick by brick.
Okay.
That's weird. You know what this does remind me of, though, a bit, is Game Dev Story.
A little bit. Game Dev Story, we could call it one of the games with a boring concept, but to tell you the truth, I can't think of anything I'd want to do more than making video games.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call that mundane work. No. But it's, I'm sure, nothing like actually doing that kind of work, because... there's the way that you like improve your game making skills is like turbocharging. Like this is like this wandering salesman who like will sell you items that you're supposed to use on your developers.
Energy drinks.
Like, to like make them more effective. And like someone will come up with an idea. It's like, I got a great idea to make this game run better. And then you're supposed to like, you know, devote some assets towards it.
Tune up the graphics.
Level 6 or whatever. And, And then they like succeed or fail like based on that great idea, which I'm sure actually is kind of like, oh, I have this wonderful idea for game stuff. Yeah. And it's like, ah, this is actually ended up being terrible. But just the idea that you can just turbocharge the development process all of a sudden to meet your deadline is just like, people are actually going to be tired and not want to go home.
Game dev story, you're going to make me start playing it again.
Okay, sorry.
I just kicked the habit. I'm on the wagon right now.
Right. That was our last episode, right?
No, 2 episodes ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
3 now, actually, come to think of it.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're right. But if an energy drink costs $500, it has more in it than caffeine.
Maybe just a little bit. Kids, if you don't know what we're talking about, that's okay.
That's all right. Go back to your Wall Street Kid.
All right.
But anyway, so we've got Wall Street Kid.
Yeah.
And then there was another stockbroker game that was released only in Japan that was very similar. It was put out by Konami.
Uh-huh.
Cannot recall the title of it, but it was another thing that was similar to Phoenix Wright, you know, an adventure game with some,
sure,
you know, I keep saying games like Phoenix Wright, but you haven't played Phoenix Wright, have
well,
you?
Well, I've played some of Phoenix Wright. I'm familiar with the mechanic, and I think I actually played your copy for a little bit once because it had an English option on it.
Yes.
But I never got my own and never really delved into it.
Well, there's an opportunity coming up very soon for you to get into the games.
Oh, really?
They're releasing Phoenix Wright 1, 2, and 3 HD.
For, like, Xbox Live or something?
I'm not sure. Like, when they released the original Phoenix Wright game, it started off as a Game Boy Advance, and then it went to DS, and then there was a Wii version, and then there was an iPhone version.
Right.
I'm guessing this one's going to go iPhone first.
Or like, iPad.
iPad, iPhone, Android, you know, probably.
Right.
This is Capcom. They'll put it on toasters if they can.
Right.
And then I'm guessing there'll be WiiWare and DSiWare and
sure.
stuff like that.
Sure, okay.
DSi and 3DS probably doesn't actually have the screen resolution needed for the HD remake.
Right.
Well, anyway. So that's coming out, and it's going to be good. And they announced Yakuten Saiban 5. Oh, sorry. Yakuten Saiban is the Ace Attorney series.
Yes.
They just announced it recently. Plus the crossover between Yakuten Saiban and Layden.
Mm-hmm.
It was announced a while ago. Haven't really seen much information on that yet, but I'm just hoping for an English release. Because we didn't get all the Phoenix Wright games. The Miles Edgeworth Investigations 2 is still Japan exclusive.
Okay.
You're not sure what I'm talking
about. Nope. I'm sure the listeners are, though.
There are 3 listeners right now going, it's a crying shame. And everyone else is like, I hope they start talking about Burger Time.
Oh, yeah, Burger Time. So that's a fun game. Ostensibly, it's about making burgers, but there's no burger joint I'm familiar with. Like, you have to walk across the food. That's a little, I'm sure, if you had a health inspection. That probably wouldn't pass muster. Not to mention all like the critters running around.
But the things like eggs. You can have eggs and burgers. Just ask Japan.
Yeah. That's not the part I'm worried about. It's the enormous burgers. Do you have like little men in actual burger shops like making these burgers that way? I never actually worked in a burger joint. So for all I know, it could be accurate to real life.
Well, listen.
Yeah,
I think there's 2 ways that this might be happening.
Okay.
Either one, you are making burgers for some giant alien race who has taken over the world.
Sounds pretty mundane.
And require these massive burgers that you have to actually walk across to put together.
Sure.
Or maybe you were shrunk down in size and you're making regular burgers just trying to get by. You'd take a different job, but in these times of economic uncertainty,
you know, this game was made in the 80s, though. Although I guess there was a crash around 87, so maybe you know it comes around.
Video game crashed in 1984.
Yep, there's that too.
And that probably affected Burger Time more than anybody else.
All right, so Burger Time. little on the fence about that one. How about Paperboy? It's a game I'm familiar with, but again, haven't played a lot of it, but, you know.
Paperboy was a great game in the arcades because it actually had those handlebar controllers.
Oh, sure. Right.
So, and I all I remember from the arcade version is constantly getting run over by the black limousine. Just constantly. It would always, I'd be like, hey, delivering papers is fun. Oh,
no, never.
And of course, I didn't
with.
Realize the conservation model when I was a kid because I never made it that far in the game anyway to ever run out of papers.
Okay.
So I just whipped the papers at everything.
I see.
And then a lot of houses didn't get the paper.
Hmm.
You know, kind of a sad story there is when I rented the game Paperboy from the, at the time, supermarket. Because that's where you rented games from.
I recall having done this in the 80s, yes.
I used to always read the manuals to the games.
Right.
And the manual said that, like, if you do bad, you know, because it was talking about, like, the later level, like, and if you can't do well, you're going to lose your job and wind up working at a fast food joint or something. And I was like, awesome. So like I'd get to the last level and I'd try to do as badly as possible because I thought that I would unlock some mini game where I worked at a diner or something. But no, it was just flavor text.
So but you mentioned there is a game that actually you are working at a diner. So
that's true.
So we talked about, you know, Diner Dash a little bit before we started talking about Back to the Future.
Sorry. That's a tangent. That it's not going to be the last time we mention that part of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So anybody who hasn't played the Back to the Future Nintendo game right now, I think at this time, if you're going to be a podcast listener here, you should probably play it just so you know what we're talking about.
We should link the Angry Video Game Nerds review as well.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it sums it up. Watch out, kiddies, though. He says some no-no words.
Yeah, no, naughty. But that's precisely like why he and Brental Floss has such a wonderful following is they're unabashed. Because, you know, I remember like being 15 or so and watching Clerks for the first time. And
yep.
kids, don't watch Clerks.
For the first time.
Not until you're older.
Yeah. We'll explain it to you later. It's in black and white anyway. If you know anything about black and white, it's boring. So.
Oh, yeah. So boring.
So don't worry. So, yeah. Don't.
The
don't
most boring watch, thing ever.
Don't even watch black and white movies. They're all boring. Citizen Kane. Yawn.
Yep.
All right. Did they leave? Okay. Yeah. Actually, Citizen Kane is a very good movie. Okay, so Diner Dash is one of those casual games. Like you'll know Diner Dash. It's when you go to someone's house and they've bought like a Gateway PC.
Sure.
Gateway doesn't even exist anymore. I don't know. One of those like
man, we're old.
One of those like $400 computers.
Yeah.
That people buy because I need to check my email sometimes and I want to send e-cards. Okay. And you find Diner Dash installed on their hard drive right next to Bejeweled.
Oh.
And probably Peggle.
Okay.
Peggle's a good game.
Yes.
It was Bejeweled, actually. But I won't admit to that.
Wait, I think... Anyway.
But, you know, it's one of those casual games that just sold like a million, billion copies. What's crazy is the game came out, I guess, in 2005.
Okay.
Although the concept of these management games goes a little back farther, but
yeah, as we've shown,
they produced just a million billion spin-offs.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, sorry. The game came out in 2003.
Okay.
But here are some of the spin-offs right now. Diner Dash, Diner Dash 2, Restaurant Rescue, Diner Dash, Flow on the Go, Diner Dash, Hometown Hero, Diner Dash 5, Boom, Cooking Dash 2, Cooking Dash 3, SpongeBob, Diner Dash 2, Wedding Dash 2, Wedding Dash 3, Wedding Dash Forever, Diary Dash, Diaper Dash, Doggy Dash, Dress Shop Hop, Fashion Dash, Fitness Dash, Garden-Hotel-Sweet Success. Hotel-2, Lost Luxuries, Parking-Soap Opera-. Avenue Flow Special Delivery, Dinertown Detective Agency, and Dinertown Tycoon.
These sound like the kinds of names I would give games that I was basing on my earlier games in Game Dev Story.
Yeah, pretty much.
But these actually got made. Maybe they're buying $500 energy drinks to get these games out so fast.
I would guess
this
so.
Since 2003, you're saying? That's crazy.
Yes. So that's 9 years, and that's what like 25 games in the series.
Wow.
It's crazy. That's almost like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I think I actually met one of the devs of Dinertown at Tokyo Game Show a number of years back.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was one of the devs of the original games or if it was just someone who was porting the games, but they had Dinertown on their business card.
Oh, interesting.
I'm hoping it's just not someone who really liked Dinertown.
probably not. Well, we also met some Square Enix people there as well. So
we did.
Yep.
We did. Who probably, you know, they seem to be the kind of chaps who wouldn't do the $500 energy drinks.
No. Well, they seem on the up and up.
Very straight-laced people.
Well, you mentioned there was like some kind of cooking variation that made me think of Cooking Mama, which again, I've heard of but haven't played a whole lot of myself.
Cooking Mama is weird. Cooking Mama is a housewife simulator.
I never thought about it that way before, but I guess you're right.
I guess you as the character are a kid who's learning to cook for mama. Because whenever you screw up a recipe, it's like, just let mommy will fix it for you. And I'm like,
oh, I thought you were the mama who was cooking.
No, you're not. You're not. Mama is judging you.
Oh, my. This brings a whole new level.
When you make a mistake, her eyes turn into little flames.
It's not
because she's mad at herself. It's because she's looking down on you with hate and disdain.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to play this game now.
That's a good point. There's a lot of those.
Yep.
For, like, every single platform.
Yeah, like, the ones I'm familiar with are on DS. And I'm sure there's more, but...
But there's also Babysitting Mama, Crafting Mama, Gardening Mama, Camping Mama.
Camping Mama.
Camping Mama sounds fun, though.
Yeah.
I want to try that. And, of course, the PETA spinoff.
PETA?
PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. They were unhappy that Cooking Mama featured meat.
Okay.
So they released their own spinoff game to encourage veganism.
Well, it's not like a spinoff. It wasn't like licensed through them, was it? Or
oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This is Majesco. They might have really needed the money.
Oh, jeez.
Sure. Spinoff, whatever. Can we have $10, please? I love Majesco, but they've had some hard times over the years. So yeah, they made a game called Cooking Mama. Mama Kills Animals.
What?
And it shows the main screen shows Mama with this bloody knife standing over animals.
That sounds super. I mean, I don't think we really addressed it very directly when it happened, but like PETA went after Mario Land 3D for having Mario in the Tanuki suit, which he's been wearing for the last 20 years.
What? Really? They went after that?
You didn't hear about that?
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, God. Yeah, because he's wearing fur.
But he's a magical plumber.
Yeah.
He eats mushrooms as big as his head.
Who?
This isn't really happening.
Was it Cinder or someone? Maybe she just retweeted this, but I heard him say, like, you know, has no one told them that Sega's been beating the crap out of a hedgehog for the last 25 years? Yeah.
So. That is abuse, though.
Yeah. Isn't like a Tanuki like a mythical creature anyway?
Yeah, Tanuki is a mythical creature. I mean, I know they often translate it to raccoon, but a Tanuki is not really a raccoon.
Yeah, yeah. You You see statues of them around Japan, though, and they have attributes. You know what? Don't look that up either, kids.
Hey, kids. You should watch the Studio Ghibli movie. I think it's called... Gosh, what was the American title? It was like Pom Pom Tankus. Or Tankus? Blech. It's all about tanukis living in the real world.
That came out in America? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
I can look it up.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, it shows what PETA knows anyway about going after stuff that just perfectly innocent, honestly.
I think a lot of dragons are being killed in a number of games. And I think
Dragon Age features a lot of dragon slaughter.
And Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter. Yeah. It's not like Pokemon monsters. Where you like capture things. You just kill these creatures. Why are they not complaining about Monster Hunter?
Well, maybe they should. Pom Poko is the name of the game.
Yeah. Okay, because I could see it in my head, but I couldn't think of the title. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I guess you'd call a tanuki like a raccoon dog or something. I don't know.
It's weird.
But, I mean, it is true that Mario killed it.
We don't know that. You know, it's a magical, mythical creature. It could have just given him its fur and then grown it back or something.
Have you ever seen Mario's keychain? It's got Goomba bones on it.
Mario's a hardcore dude, man.
I know.
You don't want to mess with him. Every time we talk about Mario, like, possibly existing in the real world and, like, you know, PETA being upset, like people just in general like complain about violence in video games. I think of both that one image of a smashed turtle shell, like, you know, no one actually tries to step on turtles playing Mario.
Yeah.
And I also think of Juwario's Mario monologues. Where,
we should link those.
Yeah, we should link those again. I don't even know how many times we've done that, but yeah.
I know, but you know, some people might be joining us for the first time. Hello. It's true.
Hello, you. Hey there.
Hey, how are you doing?
How's it going? Listen to our podcast.
If you want to listen to the podcast and something more comfortable, feel free.
Yep. I'm in my pajama shorts.
Well, there you go. So, can you think of any other games that are based on something that's fairly mundane in real life, but makes a really fun game?
Yeah, I think I mentioned all the ones that I thought of off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of the simulation games. Like, I guess I don't want to offend anybody, so it's not an activity that's boring, but I still find it interesting that they did games like Harvest Moon and stuff like that. You know, the farm.
Oh, yeah, Harvest Moon, or heck, Farmville, people are probably more familiar with at this point.
Putting seeds into the ground and waiting for them to grow doesn't seem to be the type of game mechanic that would lend itself well to, like, you know, anything.
And yet there are more people playing Farmville than there are actual farmers in the U.S.
That's sad on so many levels.
To be fair, playing Farmville is easy, and actual farming is really hard.
Yeah, what to do with all that extra corn that the government paid to grow? Oh, sorry.
Well, no, my wife's family were farmers, dairy farmers in specific, and you know, it's like that's something that you do morning, noon, and night.
Yep.
And you don't get vacations. It's like you work on Saturdays and Sundays, really? I mean, people probably play Farmville on all week also, but it's because they want to. Not because the calf was giving birth or whatever.
From a farming family myself, my grandparents were farmers and several of my aunts and uncles still farmers. And yeah, that's like, okay, before my cousins would go to school, they'd go out on the farm. And I'm guessing when they actually got back from doing that, the last thing they wanted to do was play a video game version of it.
I can't imagine. Maybe they would rather be waitresses.
Perhaps. But that's the thing, though. What I think it's just that the game mechanics just make things so fun. Like, the Phoenix Wright games are wonderful.
Yeah.
The story and being able to, like, you know, find contradictions in testimony and stuff like that. Okay, that doesn't sound fun. You should play it.
No.
because it is fun.
Yeah, I believe you.
And I mean, that's part of being a talented game designer. But sometimes I wonder if it's like talented game designer, but with no ideas. It's like, what haven't they made a game from? How about this? This is, sounds boring.
I can't think of anything else really. That's a really good example because, you know, the only other Zynga games I can think of are like Mafia Wars or something like that. And, you know,
yeah.
Granted, there are actual gangsters and whatnot.
But that's totally fun. In real life, too.
Yeah, totally.
What about flight simulators?
Flight simulators, sure. I played a lot of those as a kid because, you know, who doesn't like flying? But, you know, they were, at least when we were growing up, they were, you know, very bare bones. Like, you know, just like the vector graphics, you know, lines and stuff. Not a lot of polygons at the time because the computers really couldn't push them out too well. Yeah. But, like, you know, later stuff, like I played one called Jet Fighter. And I played Jet Fighter 2 a lot because it's actually like, you know, color and stuff.
Well, that's an action game, but like you fought, like the original flight simulator games, there were no enemies in the game.
Yeah, okay. So I did play one of those for my Apple IIe, but
Flight Simulator 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Jet Fighter still had like all the flight simulation bits with that as well, you know, except there was also fighting. So you still had to, like, you know, take off and land and do everything around. Like, landing on those aircraft carriers was hard, man.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I remember those games. I think those got, like, 3 frames a second.
Yeah, right? And that sounds about right. But you know, you think about it, and, like, they actually use this in the military, like, simulation games to actually prepare people for doing things like flying planes, space shuttles, you know, combat. Stuff like that. Strafing?
I don't know. I hear that the military used games like Doom and other things like that in their simulations.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of the anti-video game lobby will point that out as a reason for violence in video games, desensitizing people so that it would make them actually shoot another human being. But
I don't think that's what they were used for. That's another topic altogether. Yeah. Anyway.
But I think the reason why these games are funny is because they really do take an exaggerated and like best of
right.
these kind of more mundane things. Like there's Cooking Mama, but there's no like washing dishes after and getting the flour off of stuff Mama.
yeah, we have a post.
If you hear that, that's my idea.
Who would want to play like post Super Bowl cleanup Mama, which is what I got to do when I'm done with the podcast here.
Ooh. Post Super Bowl cleanup Mama.
Yeah. Although there are a lot of cookies left over, some brownies.
Oh, I'm hungry. Okay. Anyway. But yeah, it's stuff like that. Like one of the reasons Wall Street Kid was probably, I don't know if it was popular actually. I liked it though. I don't know if it was popular, but it was popular enough in Japan that it got a sequel. The game was just called Money.
Money. All right.
Which is a great name for the game. It got a sequel there, and it got another sequel, too, called Casino Kid. But casinos lend themselves more, because like, that's a game to be with.
Yeah. But I think I heard the Casino Kid, actually.
I think the reason that it's fun is because you can do all these kind of adult things, but you can do these things that adults do with none of the actual financial risk.
Sure, right.
Or in the case of being a defense attorney, having a innocent man put to death.
If you're a bad lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so these type of games, I just think it's very interesting that they've gamized, you know, things that normally wouldn't seem fun, but they've turned out to be really, really fun games. And I'm hoping that our listeners can list us some more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so, you know, we got our show notes, so you can leave comments there. We're on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, and like, or you can call us 608-492-1923 to leave comments. And because I'm sure we've missed some games we could have been talking about.
I was considering Wrecking Crew.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it would be really fun to destroy a building, though, like, in real life. Like, that's not maybe mundane. I mean, if you told your friends, so, my day job, I'm a demolition man.
Right. It's like, oh, so are there little grovers that run around your buildings and you get to beat them up before you blow up the building?
So anyway, I'm going to pretend it's a video game, but I got to go and do some laundry, mama.
Laundry, mama. Got it.
And I know that you've got to do some post Super Bowl cleanup, mama.
Yep. So yeah, like I said, visit us at famicom.tv for our show notes. Include links to some of these games we've been talking about. Again, famicom.jo on Twitter, Facebook. Our number again, 608-492-1923. And of course, if you should probably be listening to this podcast through iTunes, if you aren't already. That is a wonderful place to get our show from, because it goes up there first before it goes anywhere else. So, you see it on our website, you see it on Powit TV. That is where the final version goes, and then it percolates outward from there.
And just pretend you're playing Subscribing Mama.
Subscribing Mama. Well, the coolest thing you can do there is like leave a wonderful comment about the show. People have been doing that, and
commenting Mama.
I feel like that we haven't been mentioning that in the last few episodes, so people haven't been doing it. So I figured that I should mention it again. You should comment and rate, share with your friends and everything, because the more you do that, the higher visibility we have, and the more other people can enjoy this wonderful show.
And now we're semi-transparent.
Yeah. What?
We need to increase our visibility.
I see.
Every 5-star rating makes us that much more opaque.
Yeah. We started out pretty see-through. What?
Yep. I don't know. I'm not speaking, Mama,
Yes.
I make mistakes sometimes.
Yes. I can see your mother's burning eyes, disappointed at you for the speaking gaffes or something. Also, thank you to everyone who's been watching on Justin TV. We tried to stream this podcast today, and I guess we'll see how that went. But it was an experiment this time. So if you missed it, we may do it again. So yeah, definitely keep your eyes on our Twitter and Facebook accounts, because we'll let you know ahead of time if we're going to do it again. And so cool.
You can see all the mistakes we make.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean. We never edit this show ever. Not even once. Not even once. Wait.
Yeah, that show that we recorded over 2 days. We just left it running the whole time.
Yep. Just had this like big 2-day bit of silence and maybe some background noise. I think that there were raccoons in my house, actually.
You better not kill them and wear their skin.
No. There might have been Tanukis. That would explain why they left us. I got nothing.
Dried leaves? I don't know.
The toilets were sparkling clean. All right. And fur everywhere. I left us fur. That's what I meant to say. All right. Until next time, Dojo Disciples, I guess. I did want to mention before we go too that Powit's trying to do more newsy stuff, which Powit does all the time anyway, but we're trying to do it more in the video realm as well. So to complement our toy news show, I released a video game news show for January and a bit of December from last year as well. So feel free to check that out. We'll put that in the show notes too. It was actually in the show notes last week as well.
It's really good.
Well, thank you. We hope to expand that in the future. People are probably worried that we're not going to do new Famicom Dojo stuff, but actually, we're probably going to be talking about that for a bit, in between shows, so that we can bring you some awesome stuff in 2012.
All right.
Rockin'.